First, it was 30 years ago this month that we saw the first images from the Hubble Space Telescope. Since its launch back in 1990, it's given us some of our most incredible images of space and allowed scientists to see the cosmos in action, everything from star formation to evidence of dark matter. The Hubble isn't done yet, and new telescopes scheduled to launch in the next few years will add to our toolkit for astronomers and help us look even deeper into the universe. Ken Sembach is the director of the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore, where he manages science operations for the Hubble. He also got his PhD at UW-Madison. Ken, via the airwaves, welcome back to Wisconsin.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to be here.
Well, what made the Hubble Space Telescope such a game changer when it was first launched?
Hubble was the first really big telescope to be put above the Earth's atmosphere to give us a chance to see what the universe looked like at crystal clear resolution without all of the atmospheric effects that distort images that ground-based telescopes take.
And we talked to a planetarium director on the show yesterday asked about the Hubble, given this conversation today. And he said, in effect, you can divide astronomy in some ways into pre-Hubble and post-Hubble. What kind of questions that we were just guessing at before Hubble have we answered since then? If you can give us a taste of a few of them.
Yeah, sure. Some very basic questions, like how old is the universe? We didn't know whether the universe was 6 billion years old or 13 billion years old at that time. And it's a really tough measurement to make. And Hubble was designed specifically to make that measurement. And the goal with Hubble was to get that number down to 10% accuracy. And so going from a factor of 2 down to 10%. And we did that. And we now know the universe is just under 14 billion years old. In fact, we're trying now to get that accuracy precision down to 3% and even 1%. Because if we can get the age of the universe to that level of detail, then we're going to be able to actually make some informed decisions about what kinds of physics might be at work in some of the early times in the universe.
Now, I've got a refrigerator that's about 15 years old. It's had two or three service calls in that time. Can you talk about the challenges of keeping a way fancier piece of equipment working in Earth orbit for 30 plus years?
Well, unlike telescopes on the ground, Hubble doesn't get visited very often. It has been visited by astronauts on 5 occasions, and each time they've upgraded the observatory's capabilities. But other than that, it's all remote work. And so if something goes wrong, you have to diagnose it. And if you can, fix it from the ground, either with software or a change of operating procedure. And when that isn't possible, the astronauts have gone up. NASA sent up astronauts to repair instruments, to change out gyroscopes and other subsystems on the observatory. At one point, the central computer was replaced. All of those things have made Hubble not only longer lived, but much more powerful as time's gone on. So today, Hubble's a much more powerful observatory than when it was launched originally 30 years ago.
We're talking to Ken Sembach, director of the Space Telescope Science Institute, where he manages the Hubble Space Telescope's daily operations. Ken, let's get a little closer to home. We have these, you know, distant images from Hubble that tell us about the formation of the universe and the formation of stars. What kind of things has Hubble helped us learn here in our own solar system?
In our own solar system, we've witnessed collisions between comets and asteroids in with the outer planets like Jupiter. We've seen changes in the ring structure of Saturn, different kinds of weather phenomena on Uranus and Neptune. We've studied the composition of Mars. We've made a lot of interesting measurements with Hubble at resolution that just isn't possible from the ground. And that's provided a new insight into the dynamical nature of the planets in our own solar system. We've also been able to study some of these comets and asteroids as they break up. They outgas and eventually they disrupt. We've seen these new interloping strangers coming from other stellar systems passing through our cosmic backyard here. And Hubble's always the preferred instrument to look at these objects because of its good angular resolution.
Let's talk about a thing I just learned about today, director's discretionary time, because it sounds pretty cool. You are able to look at projects and use about 10% of Hubble's time to designate what it's going to do. When you get your hands on the steering wheel like that, what kind of things have you been able to use it for?
Yeah, in principle, I have about that much time, but I don't actually use all of that. Mm-hmm. In fact, one thing I do is I have a standing call open to the astronomical community worldwide to send proposals in for observations that need to be obtained quickly or have an immediate impact, something that doesn't get selected or something that doesn't have time to be submitted to the normal peer review process, which we run once per year. So it gives astronomers a chance to respond quickly to things that are happening, dynamic things that are happening. Other than that, we also spend some time of my discretionary time on really big projects. And one that we're pushing forward right now is an ultraviolet legacy survey of stars. And that's going to form the basis for a lot of the information that we have about how stars form and evolve during their lifetimes. This will be the largest program that Hubble's ever done. We'll spend about 1,000 orbits of HST time on that.
I want to look ahead at another big thing coming up, the launch of the James Webb Space Telescope. It's been in the works, scheduled, I think, to launch next year. What do we expect to see from that?
Well, the James Webb Space Telescope is an obvious follow-on to Hubble. When we looked at the very deep universe with Hubble, we realized that we ran out of photons. We ran out of light. And the reason for that is because the universe is expanding and that light's being shifted to longer wavelengths. And so the James Webb Space Telescope is an infrared-optimized telescope that will have the ability to see detail as well or better than Hubble. And it will pick up that infrared light from the very beginning of the universe. So we'll see the first stars and galaxies forming. We'll be able to peer deeper into regions where stars form in our own galaxy. We'll get a good look at what the atmospheres of planets around other stars look like at infrared wavelengths to complement what Hubble now sees at ultraviolet and optical wavelengths. So it's going to be a really exciting time.
How much are we still going to see from Hubble? How long are we expecting or maybe hoping to see it keep working?
We're expecting that Hubble's got at least 5 more good years in it. The instrumentation and the subsystems and everything are operating really well. And right now we're planning at least another 5 years. It could go longer than that, but this is also the space business. And so you never know how long you have. So you do the best you can with the time that you've got. And we'll continue to select really great science, and the public will get to see really amazing images from Hubble in the coming years. But we're hopeful to have at least several good years of overlap with the James Webb Space Telescope. And who knows, maybe more.
And Ken, before I let you go, I want to talk about those images, even as a layperson who, you know, doesn't really understand that much about astronomy. The images we get, whether it's, you know, one of Jupiter's moons casting a shadow on a Jupiter itself or a nebula where stars are being formed, some of these images are just really beautiful. Do you ever take time to just sit back and appreciate how cool these are?
Absolutely. That's one of the best things about Hubble images, the fact that they have such a pleasing aesthetic value. They're full of wonder and color and possibility, it seems. They capture motion and they capture, you know, history of the universe. And so I spend a lot of time staring at them, and I'm sure other people do as well.
I do. Ken, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Rob.
That's Ken Sembach, director of the Space Telescope Science Institute, where he manages the Hubble's daily operations. He's also a UW-Madison graduate. He talked to us about what we've learned from 30 years of the Hubble's images and what's next in astronomy.